Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Trish reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. MISD. Board calls for negotiation of possible settlement with Riddick by Stuart Doreen. The MISD Board of Trustees has authorized Board President Rick Davis and legal counsel to negotiate and finalize possible settlement terms with Orlando Riddick, as discussed in closed session. The move came Monday after closed session Monday evening. Elena Ladd, the district spokeswoman, told the Reporter-Telegram of the development as the board deals with termination proceedings with the outgoing superintendent. This authorizes the board president to engage legal counsel without having to come back to the board for authorization each time, MISD stated in an email to the Reporter-Telegram on Monday night. The Reporter-Telegram reported last week that Riddick has requested an independent hearing following the board's vote to propose termination. Midland ISD stated last week that a hearing examiner has been assigned to the case and the next step will be setting times and dates for the hearing. MISD also stated both sides are still trying to see if a mutually agreeable resolution can be reached. Riddick's salary is $275,000. His contract is set to expire on June 30th, 2022. In August, Board President Rick Davis wrote an op-ed that the decision to terminate the contract had to do with the district's academic performance. In short, because the district was making either no progress, little progress, or even worse, regressing on a majority of the goal progress measures regarding student academic performance on which Mr. Riddick understood and agreed he would be evaluated, we made the unanimous decision to take the first step in seeking a new academic leader for our district, Davis wrote. Peyton, federal agencies are investigating threats against Bob Fu, by Caitlin Randall, C-R-A-N-D-L-E at MRT.com. Pastor Bob Fu, founder of the nonprofit China Aid, and his family are in a protected location as the FBI and the CIA investigate threats against Fu's life by suspected members of the Chinese Communist Party, according to Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton. The threats against Fu's life began September 26th when 5 to 6 protesters demonstrated outside Fu's home, Peyton said during a press conference Monday afternoon. Those protests escalated Monday morning when a group of about 50 arrived at Fu's home via a charter bus and accused him of being a spy for the CCP. Fu and his family are in a safe location and being protected by local police and federal law enforcement agencies, Peyton said. He said the FBI and the CIA are heavily involved in investigating the situation but declined to comment further on the investigation, saying it was ongoing. Peyton said the agencies had not yet determined why Fu is being targeted and why bounties have allegedly been placed on his life. The protesters alleged Fu was a spy for the CCP, which they accused of manufacturing the coronavirus, and said Fu has been gathering information on Americans to provide to the Chinese government. However, a statement from China Aid on Friday alleged a CCP operative is urging supporters to eliminate Fu. It's something we can't come to grips with, why someone in this organization is saying he's a member of the Communist Party, when quite frankly, all he's done is been wanted by the Communist Party, Peyton said. We're still trying to figure that out. Fu, through China Aid, provides legal assistance to Christians who have been arrested in China, where Christianity is not recognized as an official religion and Christians face persecution from the government. There are an estimated to be over 1 million people from religious or ethnic minorities currently in Chinese internment camps. The group of protesters on Monday arrived at Fu's residence at about 11 a.m. carrying signs and passing out pamphlets that outlined their allegations against Fu. They declined to provide their names, and when asked who organized the protest and provided the bus, they said they arrived separately and are not part of any organization. The protesters occasionally chanted in Mandarin and recorded videos on their phones, but did not engage in any violence. Peyton said protesters would be arrested if they stepped onto Fu's property or the properties of his neighbors. Area, DPS, Midlander, three others die in State Highway 349 collision by Stuart Doreen. Four people died after a two-vehicle collision Saturday evening between Midland and Rankin on State Highway 349. The Department of Public Safety reported Monday that Midlander Fabian Esquivel was driving a Dodge Ram 1500 North on State Highway 349 when he crossed the center stripe and entered the southbound lane. The pickup then struck a southbound Nissan Maxima head-on, according to a press release. Esquivel was transported to Medical Center Hospital in Odessa, where he died. The car's driver, Christina L. McCrary of Rankin, and two passengers, Riley Ramos, 9, and Reese Ramos, 4, both of Rankin, died at the scene. A passenger in the pickup, Yamilete Esquivel, 4, of Midland, was taken to Rankin County Hospital with non-incapacitating injuries. The collision happened around 6:50 p.m. Saturday, 18 miles north of Rankin in Upton County. All but McCrary were wearing seatbelts, according to the release. The report also shows cases from Bush Elementary, Emerson Elementary, San Jacinto Junior High, and Carver Center. There were 62 coronavirus cases reported through September 29th that included 17 students or employees who were on the Midland High campus at least some of the time. The district reported last month that its tracking of coronavirus cases by campus also would include students who tested positive. The district in the past few weeks has started to bring students back on campus as part of the phase-in program for reentry. Midland ISD has said that each notification triggers a series of steps, which include sanitizing and disinfecting, notification of individuals in close proximity, and notification to the health department. Anytime we become aware of an individual with a confirmed case who is present at a public gathering, such as a board meeting or sporting event, we will also issue a press release. The district also reported there were no closures needed during the month of September. Development, the MDC to focus on broadband and workforce in fiscal year. Farmers Market Director makes presentation requesting $30,000 a year for 3 years by Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. Its budget impacted by the drop in sales tax amid the COVID-19 related economic shutdown, the Midland Development Corp will begin its new fiscal year with a more conservative outlook. At the MDC's monthly board meeting held in the Midland Chamber of Commerce boardroom, Executive Director John Trischetti told those in attendance the corporation will continue funding projects already underway, even as it closely watches its expenditures. One focus for this new year will be broadband, he said, noting that the increase in the number of people working from home amid the pandemic highlighted the region's broadband shortcomings. We saw an opportunity that fit right in the middle of our fairway, he said. The MDC will be working with other organizations from MOTRAN to the Permian Strategic Partnership, companies, individuals, and philanthropic organizations to improve broadband service in the area, he said. Another focus will be how to help those who have lost their jobs during the pandemic or in the oil market crash and subsequent slowdown in oil field activity. Retooled their skills so there won't be a mass exodus from Midland, he said. Trischetti also announced that the next major development the MDC will be involved in will be along Todd Road. Board members also established October 31st as the deadline to apply for MDC's Small Business Assistance Program. Sarah Harris, Director of Operations, reported 39 businesses had applied for the program, but that most were ineligible because they had received federal Paycheck Protection Program grants. Two of the applicants have qualified for the program, and two more are in the process of qualifying for assistance. Samantha Borgstedt, Director of the Midland Downtown Farmers Market, made a presentation to board members about the farmers market in hopes of receiving $30,000 a year over the next 3 years from the MDC to help pay for promotional and educational resources, advertising, and administrative salaries. She said the market is funded through $20 booth fees vendors pay each week and has received grants from the Permian Basin Area Foundation and Capital Farm Credit. To grow the market from as many as 70 vendors to at least 75, and to utilize the entire Museum of the Southwest Grounds, including the Children's Museum and the Blakemore Planetarium. She said they need to bump up the salaries of the two employees who manage the market's business and social media. We feel these funds can get the market to grow where we want it to grow and keep the premier farmers market. I feel like it's the premier market in Texas, maybe even the nation, she said. It would also allow them to bring back live music, perhaps add a yoga class on the grounds during the market's hours, and bring in food trucks one Saturday a month. Deanne Yates, MDFM board member, said that the market is a nonprofit but wants to ensure cash flow for needs such as building insurance and publicity for the market. She said the market got its start to help what she called grassroots businesses. A number of the vendors are retirees supplementing their retirement, she said. Trischetti told board members that the presentation was for their information only and that they would bring the request back to the board later for further discussion. Board members also authorized the payment of $53,098 to the University of Texas Permian Basin as part of an incubator and makerspace agreement between MDC and UTPB. UTPB President Sandra Woodley expressed her appreciation to the board and said the grant would help leverage other funding to help the university establish a business incubator and set up an advisory board. Midland County cases approach 4,000 from staff reports. The Midland Health Department reported Monday there were 44 coronavirus cases from tests reported this weekend. That number is down from last Monday and continues the trend of lower week-over-week numbers, a trend that began Wednesday. Last week, the Health Department reported 52 cases on Monday and then 98 on Tuesday. Those numbers factored into the first 200 case week in more than 1 month. Last week, law enforcement officials reported 80 jail inmates and 8 detention officers at the Midland County Jail tested positive. Health officials had been worried about a post-Labor Day bump in the number of coronavirus cases in Midland County. Midland's new cases are reflective of lab results from Friday through Sunday. The health department also reported 1,262 active cases, a decrease of 13 compared to Friday, and 2,422 recoveries, an increase of 59. During the pandemic, there have been 3,987 coronavirus cases and 85 COVID-19 deaths. State briefs from Wire Reports, San Antonio. U.S. Attorney for much of West and South Texas resigns. The U.S. Attorney for a swath of Texas from El Paso to San Antonio is resigning. John F. Bash of the Western District of Texas said in a Monday news release that he would step down effective Friday. He will be replaced by veteran prosecutor Greg Sofer, who has served since early this year as counselor to Attorney General William Barr. Nominated by President Donald Trump in September of 2017, the 39-year-old Bash brought 90 federal counts against the gunman accused of killing 22 people at a Walmart in El Paso. No day was worse than August 3, 2019, when we lost so many of our fellow Americans and our Mexican brothers and sisters to an act of almost inconceivable hatred, Bash said in a news release. But there was nothing more soul-stirring than the way El Pasoans came together in the wake of that nightmare in a spirit of love and perseverance. Denton. Texas man accused of punch amid Trump argument turned self in. A Texas man who was seen on video punching another man as they argued over President Donald Trump has turned himself in after police obtained a warrant for assault, authorities said. Jason Lotta, 44, was booked in the Denton City Jail late Saturday and released a few hours later after posting bond, the Denton Record Chronicle reported. The scuffle earlier Saturday outside of a convenience store was captured on video, which showed a man in a hat yelling profanities at another man and screaming "Turn it off" as an anti-Trump rap song by YG appeared to be playing in the background. The suspect, identified by police as Lotta, was standing with other men who were wearing Trump t-shirts. He is seen on video punching the victim in the face. Police said the victim suffered a cut below the eyebrow and a broken tooth. It wasn't clear whether Lotta had an attorney who could speak on his behalf. San Antonio. Prominent megachurch pastor ill with COVID-19. Prominent megachurch pastor and conservative activist John Hagee, H-A-G-E-E, has been diagnosed with COVID-19, his son announced during services at the church his father founded. The 80-year-old pastor received the diagnosis Friday and was recovering after the illness was detected early, Matt Hagee said during Sunday morning services at Cornerstone Church. John Hagee founded a ministry that the church says now has 22,000 members. His sermons are broadcast throughout the United States and Canada and live streamed online. Hagee has been a committed supporter of Israel, founding Christians United for Israel. He is also a stalwart backer of President Donald Trump, who, with First Lady Melania Trump, has also been diagnosed with COVID-19. Trump was discharged Monday from Walter Reed Military Medical Center and returned to the White House, where his doctors said he would continue treatment. State health officials reported 2,192 new Texas cases Monday of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19, bringing it up to 769,303, the cases reported in Texas since tracking and tracing of the virus began in early March. Of those, the state estimates 71,074 cases are now active, with 3,318 requiring hospitalization. However, the health department said Monday in a note on its COVID-19 dashboard that the 1,217 older cases had been excluded from previous reports of newly confirmed cases. The true number of cases in Texas is likely much higher, though, because many people have not been tested, and studies suggest people can be infected and not feel sick. Briefs. Forums. The Reporter-Telegram will hold Facebook forums for Midland ISD candidates on October 13th and 15th. Each group of candidates will get about an hour each. District 1 and District 4 forums are on October 13th, and District 7 and 2 forums are on October 15th. As of this time, the forums are broadcast events only. Basin PBS will have an MISD candidate debate at 7 p.m. Thursday and a District 11 congressional debate at 7 p.m. October 12th. Young Republicans chapter to host Pfluger. The Midland County Young Republicans will be holding a meet and greet with August Pfluger, candidate for Texas's 11th congressional district, 7 to 10 p.m. today. For directions and to purchase tickets, call Stephen Villea, chapter president, at 235-4792. Texas Size Garage Sale to include exclusive experience. The Texas Size Garage Sale, a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels, will begin Wednesday with an exclusive shopping experience, according to a press release from Senior Life. Cocktails and snacks will be served at the event, which is 5 to 7. Tickets are $50 and are available at Eventbrite or by calling Tracy Renton or Kathleen Kerwin-Haney at 689-6693. For the general public, the garage sale will be presented on 6 days with 2 sessions each day, 9 to 11 a.m. and noon to 2 p.m., Friday and Saturday, October 13th, 15th, 20th, and 22nd. Only 100 people will be allowed in during each session to allow for social distancing, according to a release. All shoppers will be required to wear masks, said Renton, Senior Life Director. The garage sale is at 407 East Scarborough Drive. Safe Place needs closet organizers. These select area volunteer opportunities and events are provided by MSS Connections, a program of MSS made possible by the Warren Charitable Foundation. For more information, visit mssconnections.org. Safe Place of the Permian Basin is looking for clothing closet organizers. This volunteer position requires a 30-minute training and a confidentiality agreement. There will be no more than 5 volunteers at one time. Masks must be worn while moving around the shelter and in common areas. Contact Hannah at 522-7202 or HHELDT at safeplacenow.com. American Red Cross needs volunteers and IT end user service volunteers. Contact Stacy 425-7637 or stacy.pickett2 at redcross.org. Responsibilities include managing spreadsheets, SharePoint list, and tracking IT volunteer activities, and monitoring email boxes and responding as needed. Midland County Public Library needs volunteers for Fall Festival 2020, set for October 24th at the downtown branch parking lot. Volunteers are needed for the Trunk or Treat event to help with setup and tear down decorations, pass out candy and treats, count visitors, and direct traffic flow. Volunteers who are 18 and older must undergo a background check. Multiple shifts are available. Contact Megan Buck at 688-4325 or mbuck at mcounty.com. Firefighters doing virtual fill the boot. The International Association of Firefighters and Professional Firefighters Association of Midland Local 4405 are doing a virtual Fill the Boot, which will take the place of the annual in-person campaign for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Instead of placing donations in boots held up by Midland firefighters at intersections across Midland, residents can donate online. The virtual campaign continues through the end of the year, said Greg Wells with Midland Local 4405. Their goal is $5,000, according to their website. Opinion Extra. County operates on aggressive timeline for water project. Living inside Midland city limits is not everyone's cup of tea. Some people want more land or to be away from the hustle and bustle. Many even say they don't care to pay city property taxes. An interesting story in Sunday's Reporter-Telegram provided an update on the efforts to bring water from a water field that county leaders, before Terry Johnson's arrival on Commissioner's Court, purchased in Winkler County. County leaders are now trying to fulfill the mission of delivering that water to areas of the county outside city limits. We wish them Godspeed. It sounds like the county is hurrying along this project, which Johnson said included $5.5 million 5 years ago, and another $22 million over the next few years. He also says the city, county, Midland County Utility District, and Midland Freshwater District are close to reaching an agreement for the county to use the city's pipeline system and likely will finalize a contract later this month or in November. It remains to be seen if city leaders will confirm such a timeline or if the county judge is speaking out of turn. It seems there are questions that need to be answered. How many customers are we talking about? Will those customers wish to pay the cost of the infrastructure required, including passing a bond through a utility district if needed? Can the county find ways to control development outside the city and inside the county, as there will be more opportunities for those wanting to hook into a water supply that is currently not available? Can all these questions be answered in a month or less? Johnson's claim seems aggressive because city leaders have long stated that the county would not be hooking into the city's pipeline. City leaders have correctly stated for years that they would not jeopardize the ability they have to take water from their own fields in Winkler County. Some city leaders have said running another entity's water through that pipeline would do just that. It is imperative that any actions regarding this pipeline does not endanger the city's ability to move water from the Winkler County interest, and that city residents are secure against legal liabilities for any actions involving the county's project. Still, Johnson says this connection will take place within 3 years of the completion of the agreement, which he said will happen in early November. This is a bold project that leaders should make happen eventually. It is a no-brainer that county residents would be willing to help foot the bill, including the payment of utilities and infrastructure associated with the project. If water is so precious, then those living and working in the county, including industrial areas, will be willing to pay a sufficient amount that guarantees a plentiful source. If they wouldn't, then why bother? This whole water situation brings up another point. The vast majority of residents living in Midland County live inside the city. the majority of residential property taxes paid to the county come from the city. Yet when it comes to infrastructure partnerships, the city is usually left holding the short end of the stick. If this is going to be the type of partnership that is best for Midland's future, both or all entities must have to be, or all entities have to be willing participants. Stuart Doreen, editor. Obituaries and death notices for October 6th, 2020. Brandy Davis Snyder. Brandy Davis Snyder, 41, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. She is survived by her children, Mackenzie, Cody, Jacob, and wife Liz, Zach, Maddie, and Abby, and others that she treated as her own grandchildren. Siblings, Sherry Romo and ex-husband Chuck Romo, Bradley and his wife Lucy, cousins Kevin and Brenda Bridges, and daughter Carly, Kaylee, niece and nephews Ryan, Levi, Luke, and Melissa, and her husband Jason and their daughter Arietta. Special friends, Gina Carlton, Crystal Caravo, and Hetty. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, October 6th at Stonegate Christian Fellowship. Donations can be made to her children, Mackenzie and Cody, at BBT Bank or a domestic violence foundation of your choosing. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Colonel Andre Catania, retired. Army officer, passed away at his home on September 14, 2020. He was preceded in death by his wife Jackie and is survived by his two sons and their wives, Andrea and Richard Catania, Sylvia and Bertrand Catania, and three grandchildren, Rick, Charlotte, and Matilda. Donations in his memory can be made to the Wounded Warrior Project at P.O. Box 758516 in Topeka, Kansas, 66675. James Boyd Jim Henry. Longtime Midlander and consulting petroleum engineer James Boyd Jim Henry, 94, died on October 2nd, 2020. A funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, October 6th at the First Baptist Church, Midland, with Dr. Darren Wood officiating. Private burial will be at Rest Haven. He is survived by his wife, Billie Jean Denson Henry, two daughters, Jean Catherine Stern and Lewis, and Judy Beth Johnson and Ronald. Grandchildren, David James Stern, Amanda, John Lewis Stern, and Natalie, Matthew Brent Johnson and Sarah, and Ashley Nicole Kennedy, and 10 great-grandchildren. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home in Midland. James Otto Johnson. James Otto Johnson died on October 3rd, 2020. The memorial service will be conducted on Tuesday, October 6th at 11 a.m. in the Wilkerson Funeral Chapel in Greenville, officiated by Ben Alexander, pastor of St. James United Methodist Church. The service will be carried via live streaming at wilkersonfuneralhome.com. He is survived by his wife, Mandy, his children, Jonah and Jesse, his mother, Faye, his stepfather, Dave, and Kathy Cromwell, his brother, Robert Johnson, sister, Susan, and husband, Brian Duncan, his father-in-law and mother-in-law, Steve and Mary Renner, brother-in-law, Adam Renner, sister-in-law, Lisa Kulos, numerous nieces and nephews, in lieu of flowers. Please donate to the National Brain Tumor Society Defeat GBM Fund, 55 Chapel Street, Suite 200, Newton, Massachusetts, MA 02458, or at www.braintumor.org. Arrangements are by Wilkerson Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at wilkersonfuneralhome.com. Patricia Jane Bishop McKinney. Patricia Jane Bishop McKinney died peacefully on October 2nd, 2020. in Midland, Texas at the age of 76. She is survived by her daughters, Lisa Brown and Sheila Willis, her sisters, Lucille Don Juan and Sally McKinney, and numerous nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her husband, Gene, and her parents, S.R. and Janie McKinney. A memorial will take place on Tuesday, October 6th at 3:30 at the Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Chapel in Midland. All are welcome to attend. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Death notices. Fabian Esquivel. Fabian Esquivel, 28, of Midland, passed away October 3rd, 2020. Rosary and memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, October 7th, 2020, at the branch at NPW in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Fernando Gabaldon. Fernando Gabaldon, 51, of Midland, Texas, passed away Thursday, September 24th, 2020. Viewing will be Tuesday, October 6th from 9 to 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. Tuesday evening at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street. Funeral Mass is set for Wednesday, October 7th at 10 a.m. at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. He is survived by two sons, Eric Dominguez and Victor Gabaldon, three daughters, Karina Tobar, Vanessa Gabaldon, and Lisette Gabaldon. His mother, Timotea Ortega, and five brothers and four sisters. Genoveva Noyola, born December 13th, 1937, in Eltmann, Germany, passed away on September 30th in Midland, Texas. She is survived by loving husband, Felix Noyola, son Norman Kraus and family, niece Germana Castillo and family, and the Noyola family. Jose Lujan, 72, of Midland, Texas, passed away September 28th at the Midland Memorial Hospital. He is survived by four siblings, Omar Lujan and Elena, Oscar Lujan and Darlene, Onisimo L. Lujan and Olympia Del Camp, and his beloved niece, Odile Hernandez, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Edelfonso Lujan and Maria Semeniego, and four siblings, Horacio Lujan, Elizardo Lujan, Octavio Lujan, and Hortensia Terrazas. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, October 6, 2020, from 10 to 6 at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland, Texas. Rosary immediately following until 8 p.m. Additional services will be held in Mexico. Nancy Juan Tuck, 55, of Midland, passed away October 4th, 2020. The family will hold a private service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Shirley Graham Utz, O-U-Z-T-S, 90, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, in Midland. She is survived by three children, William S. Bill Utz and Diane, Corinne Mitzi Preston, and Brenda Kerwin, three grandchildren and her nephew. Visitation will be held Wednesday, October 7th, from 10 to 11 at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral services will be Wednesday, October 7th, 2020, at 11 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home, with Robert Pace of Grace Lutheran Church officiating. Burial will follow at the American Heritage Cemetery. Wilbur Harkness, 74, of Midland, passed away October 4th. The family will hold a private service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Yvette Marie Aranda, 38, of Midland, Texas, passed away Thursday, October 1st. Arrangements are with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. She is survived by her husband, Alejandro Aranda, three sons, Isaac Rodriguez, Nathaniel Ray Perez, and Rogelio S. Garza Jr., one sister and several nieces and nephews. Zona Childers. Zona Childers, 66, of Midland, passed away October 3rd, 2020. Graveside service will be held at 3 p.m. Thursday, October 8th, 2020, at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Piccolo and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. Front page, World Teachers Day. Sarah Marston, Brand Development Coordinator for Whataburger Corporate, gets another school folder to hand to art teacher Pam Burkhalter Monday morning. Burkhalter was nominated by Elizabeth Cleveland as an outstanding teacher for her positivity and dedication that she brings to Permian High School. Whataburger honors local teachers to celebrate World Teachers Day. By Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Permian High School teachers got an unexpected honor Monday from Whataburger to mark World Teachers Day. Whataburger honored local teachers in Odessa and Midland who are committed to helping all students succeed as part of the Whataburger Feeding Student Success Program. To show appreciation, Whataburger asked more than 100 schools from Florida to Arizona to nominate standout teachers on their campuses. Along with Permian, Whataburger also recognized teachers at Parker Elementary School in Midland. The 10 teachers honored at Permian High School received Whataburger swag and gift cards. Each PHS teacher was brought to the foyer, read their nomination, and given their swag. Whataburger also saluted all educators across its 10-state footprint with a special thank you message on restaurant pole signs and released special frames on social media, the release said. The PH teachers included Elizabeth Wilbanks, Rhonda Ellison, Indira Placida, Chanel Zazueta, Lindsay Cameron, Pam Burkhalter, Samantha Baker, Norma Espinosa, Sarah Garlington, and Aaron Ashford. Sarah Marston, Brand Development Coordinator for Whataburger Corporate, said this is the first year Whataburger has organized the recognition. 2020 has just been an amazing, crazy year for all of us, and our teachers are doing so much, Marston said. They're teaching from a camera from home, or they're teaching face-to-face. There are just many different aspects that are moving parts, and Whataburger wanted to honor these heroes. They've inspired us. They've inspired so many people in the communities, so that's why we're here today to honor and celebrate World Teachers Day. The teachers' colleagues nominated them for the honor. In total, there are $250 in Whataburger gift cards and $250 Visa gift cards, along with school supplies, folders, pens, hand sanitizer, and then we're going to do some raffles for all the teachers, Marston said. Teachers could receive Yeti mugs with I'm so spicy or I'm so fancy on them. Cameron, who teaches English 1 and English 3 advanced placement, was noticeably surprised. It was really nice, Cameron said, of being recognized. It's been a rough year, lots of changes and lots of challenges, and lots of questioning whether you are doing a good job, because I love my job. I want to be good at it, so it's so nice to hear that I am doing a good job at it. Zazueta, who teaches Spanish, said the event was outstanding. I think it's wonderful that we have the support from our community. It's definitely been challenging, and feeling appreciated is a great motivation for us, Zazueta said. I love it. It's been a challenging year, but I wouldn't trade it. Aaron Ashford, who teaches world geography, is new to the area, the school district, and Permian High School. Ashford said he just comes to work every day and does what he really likes. I don't look for accolades like this, So this is a surprise. I really appreciate it, Ashford said. STEM students get registered to vote. By Ruth Campbell, RCAMPBELL at OAOA.com. Left to right, Elena Marroquin, UTPB Honors Program, Amanda Snyder, Ector County Elections Office, and STEM students Cassidy Beard, Isabel Salcedo, Trinity Patton, Victoria Patton, and Haley Whatley, who all registered to vote last week. Courtesy photo. As members of the first senior class at the UTPB STEM STEM Academy, five eligible students were registered to vote this week. On hand for the occasion were Associate Professor of Art Chris Stanley, Elena Marroquin, freshman honors student, and Amanda Snyder from the Ector County Elections Office. The first chance they have to vote is in the November 3rd general election, which features the presidential race between President Donald Trump, the Republican, and former Vice President Joe Biden, a Democrat. There are also local races for city council, district judge, appeals court judge, and more. Stanley noted that this is the first senior class from the STEM Academy, and these were their first 18-year-olds. Plans are to have another event in March or April to register more students who are of age to vote. We tend to not focus on the kind of positivity of bringing new people into the electorate. Anytime we can get high school kids that are interested in getting registered to vote, that's an incredible thing, Stanley said. He added that it was wonderful for Snyder to bring an electronic voting booth to the campus. So you're literally talking about a whole community event to help teach these kids, Stanley said. Haley Whatley, 19, and Isabel Salcedo, 18, both seniors, got signed up. Whatley said she registered because she wants the president she wants to win the election, and she felt good afterward. She and Salcedo watched Tuesday's debate with Trump and Biden. I thought it was pretty funny, Whatley said. She added that she thought Trump won. Both plan to vote on Election Day and keep their I voted stickers. Salcedo said she thought it would be a cool experience to register, being part of the first senior class at STEM. She said she watched Tuesday's debate and it was pretty crazy. Whatley said voting means she has a voice. STEM middle and high school principal Cody Griffin said, if you think about it, elected officials have responsibilities that impact everything, from laws about what age you can vote to taxes and how old you are when you can drive. Griffin said voting is both a burden and a responsibility. With that burden, you've got to be educated to determine if the people you're choosing have similar views on how things should occur. So if there's two or three people in a race, you've got to decide which one most aligns with your voice, Griffin said. That's the importance of voting, because those people are going to be making decisions about how you live on any given day. Salcedo said voting is a right, and it's like freedom, and kind of like saying what you think. Griffin noted that the League of Women Voters has a voter's guide online that offers nonpartisan information about the candidates. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 5,088. Ector County negative, 22,820 out of 28,238 tested, with 330 pending. 100 deaths. Recovered, 4,273. Active, 715. Midland County, 3,943 confirmed cases with 85 deaths. Texas, 769,303 confirmed cases with deaths, 16,033. U.S. cases, 7,672,975 total confirmed and 214,952 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick Hits Fundraising Campaign. United Supermarkets and Market Street will hold an event to announce the start of a fundraising campaign for the memorial honoring victims of the August 31st, 2019 mass shooting at 10 a.m. Wednesday at Market Street, 4950 East 42nd Street. The memorial, dubbed Bright Stars, a Memorial, was created by Jim Sanborn and will be part of the memorial gardens adjacent to the Market Street. 100% of the funds raised will go to the Memorial Park. John Jameson, Regional Vice President for the United Family, will be in attendance, along with Odessa Mayor David Turner and Randy Ham, the Executive Director of Odessa Arts. They will speak about the plans for the memorial, as well as how guests of United Supermarkets and Market Street can contribute to the project through the campaign. Attendees are asked to wear a mask and observe social distancing guidelines. Visit www.theunitedfamily.com. C4K Fundraiser. C4K Fundraiser, featuring Roger Krieger and Kevin Fowler, has been scheduled from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Thursday at La Hacienda Event Center, 12610 Highway 191, Midland. Clay's for Kids is the annual fundraiser to help provide Christmas blessings for children in need. The event will include dinner, a silent and live auction, followed by a concert. The Clay's for Shoot will be held October 16th at Windwalker Farms. Lunch will be served and prize drawings will be held at noon. Shooting rotations begin at 1 p.m. For tickets, sponsorships, or more information, visit www.311ministries.org/C4K. From Staff Reports. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. Page 2, read. Academics Career Resources Help Busy Mom with Career. Special to the Odessa American by Rebecca Bell, MC Executive Director, Institutional Advancement. Midland. Adriana Chavez definitely knows the demands of being a mother and holding down a full-time job. In fact, the interview for this article was conducted virtually at 8 p.m. on a Monday, following her four-year-old daughter's t-ball game, while Chavez was at the softball field, watching her eight-year-old stepdaughter's softball practice. It's because of my children that I decided to enroll at Midland College in January 2019, Chavez said. At the time, I was a single mother of two and needed a job in order to support my family. I graduated from Midland High School in 2012, but never attended college. I needed a stable job with opportunities for advancement. Chavez decided to begin taking courses in Midland College's MC Business Management program and started working part-time in the mornings as the desk clerk at Daniel Hall, one of MC's residence halls. I chose the business program because I knew that with a degree in business, there were a number of career possibilities, Chavez explained. I also had heard about MC's bachelor's degree in organizational management and figured that if I could first get an associate degree, I could eventually work toward a bachelor's degree. Chavez managed to complete her courses in record time, just 18 months, by taking a full load each semester and also taking summer courses. In May 2020, she graduated from MC with an Associate of Applied Science degree in Business Management. She was able to complete most of the courses online, which helped her juggle a part-time job and family schedules. In March, before I graduated, I started looking for full-time employment, something where I could use the skills and knowledge I had obtained in the business management program, Chavez said. Just my luck, it was right at the peak of the COVID pandemic, and the price of oil had dropped drastically. Companies in Midland were laying off people. They definitely weren't hiring. I actively looked for a job for approximately 4 months and didn't have any luck. I knew I was prepared. I had obtained computer and accounting skills, and I had learned a lot about business organization and practical applications in my management and business courses, but I just couldn't land a job. Chavez saw a post on Facebook about MC's Career Resource Center and decided to give the center a call. When Chavez called in early August, she was very friendly and articulate, but I could tell that she was also frustrated. Liz Centeno, MC Career and Student Support Services advisor, said, "We scheduled a visit so that I could review her resume." Mrs. Centeno gave a few suggestions to revise my resume, and we discussed some interviewing tips, Chavez said. Within 2 weeks, I was offered a job as the receptionist at Springboard Center. Chavez explained that her receptionist duties include the traditional responsibilities of answering phones and greeting visitors, but she also prepares and maintains daily business operations reports, such as attendance spreadsheets and client service reports for the Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center. All of the reports require a thorough knowledge of Excel and some accounting skills, both things I learned at Midland College, Chavez said. I really like working at Springboard. I'd like to advance within the administrative unit of the organization. They are strong proponents of promoting from within, so I'm looking forward to a long career at Springboard. Chavez said that she credits a great deal of her affinity for accounting and finance to her accounting professor, MC Business Department Chair Doug Johnson. Another favorite class was business law. Chavez and her fiancé have a blended family of 2 girls and 2 boys, ranging in age from 4 to 14. Chavez said that her children are adjusting well to her new career. The children's sports activities play a big part in their lives. Page 3, OAOA.com. Man charged with sexually assaulting 2-year-old daughter. OA News at OAOA.com. An Ector County Sheriff's Office affidavit detailed a 21-year-old man admitted to another man that he had sexually assaulted his 2-year-old daughter. Fabian Andres Ortega was charged with aggravated sexual assault of a child, family violence, a first-degree felony. ECSO deputies were dispatched to Medical Center Hospital at 12:14 p.m. August 26th about a possible sexual assault of a child, the affidavit stated. The complainant reportedly told deputies that her 2-year-old daughter had been sexually assaulted by her biological father, who was identified as Ortega. ECSO investigators conducted an investigation following the outcry. During the investigation, it was found that Ortega admitted to another man that he had sexually assaulted his daughter, the affidavit stated. Ortega also admitted that he wanted to sexually assault his daughter when she got older. A SANE, SANE exam, was reportedly conducted on the 2-year-old girl, which provided evidence that was consistent of a sexual assault. Ortega was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Friday, jail records show. He had 1 bond totaling $50,000, and he posted bail on Monday. DPS, 2 adults, 2 children die in head-on collision. OA News at OAOA.com. 4 people, including 2 children, died in a head-on collision on Saturday night in Upton County. The reported fatal collision happened at 6:50 p.m. Saturday on State Highway 349, about 18 miles north of Rankin, a Texas Department of Public Safety press release stated. Fabian Esquivel, 28, of Midland, was reportedly driving in a 2020 Dodge Ram 1500 with passenger Yamileti Esquivel, 4, of Midland. Fabian Esquivel and Yamileti Esquivel were traveling north on State Highway 349. Christina McCrary, 30, of Rankin, was driving south on State Highway 349 in a 2002 Nissan Maxima, the press release stated. McCrary's passengers were Raleigh Ramos, 9, of Rankin, and Reese Ramos, 4, of Rankin. The Dodge Ram reportedly crossed the center stripe, entered the southbound lane, and was driving on the wrong side of the road. The Dodge Ram collided head-on with the Nissan Maxima. Fabian Esquivel was transported to Medical Center Hospital and was pronounced dead by medical staff, the press release stated. Yamileti Esquivel was transported to Rankin County Hospital with non-incapacitating injuries. Fabian Esquivel wasn't wearing a seatbelt, but Yamileti Esquivel was. McCrary, Raleigh Ramos, and Reese Ramos were each reportedly pronounced dead at the scene. All three people traveling in the Nissan Maxima were wearing their seatbelts. Stevie Nicks concert film screening. OA News at OAOA.com. Get an exclusive members-only sneak peek at the Ector Theater when Odessa Arts screens the Stevie Nicks concert film 24 Karat Gold on October 21st. This event is limited to Odessa Arts patron level and above members with limited seating. Masks are required and seating is assigned for the safety of our patrons. Visit https://odessaarts.org/become-a-member/.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.